Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're about to take a serious plunge into mastering advanced golf course reading skills. And we're focusing specifically on the unique challenges, the nuances, really, of South African greens. Our source today, we've pulled excerpts straight from an article called Advanced Golf Course Reading Skills, Master SA Greens.
Oh.
It's from the Golf Day Buddy app in their Advanced Golf Strategies section. So our mission here is to unpack the crucial bits from this source, give you a shortcut to understanding what's most important for reading greens well, especially when you're facing all sorts of conditions.
Exactly. And the goal is really to help you understand not just what factors matter for green reading based on this article, but crucially, why they matter. We want to provide that context and, you know, practical application for your game out on the course.
Okay, right. Let's unpack this then. The source makes it pretty clear from the get-go. Reading greens isn't just like a nice-to-have skill. Mm-hmm. It's crucial for peak performance. And it points out that South Africa specifically, well, it throws some unique challenges at players they really need to get a handle on.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is how they emphasize the very foundation of the putting surface, the grass itself. It plays such a critical role in these advanced skills. It's really the first thing you need to understand according to this material. The article really zooms in on two dominant grass types you'll commonly find on South African courses, Kikuyu and Bermuda. And they behave very, very differently under the putter.
Okay, so knowing which grass type you're actually standing on, what does that mean for the golfer about to putt?
Well, Kikuyu grass, it's described as typically thick and dense. And the insight here is that this density, it tends to significantly slow down the ball's roll. So it means you need a really acute awareness of speed, yes, but also how the break will be affected because the ball is slowing down more.
Right, right. And Bermuda grass is the opposite then, or just different?
It's definitely different. Bermuda, which you often find in warmer regions, gives you a quicker, smoother surface. So players really need to adapt their stroke, their touch, for that faster roll. You can't putt the same way. But, you know, it's not just about the grass type itself. As you hinted, they also point out other things that really matter. Things like the height of the cut, the density of the grass, the climate conditions leading up to your round, and even the cutting method they use. A lower cut almost always means faster greens. That's a key takeaway.
So it's a mix. The specific turf, how it's maintained, and the recent weather patterns.
Exactly that. Local weather think, rainfall, temperature, it has a huge impact on how these grasses play. For instance, a warm, sunny day might dry out Kikuyu faster than you'd think, making it quicker, but then high humidity could make it feel really slow, like you're putting through treacle. The real skill, according to the source, is recognizing the grass and how the local climate is making it behave right now on that day. Okay, so moving beyond just the type of grass, the actual speed of the green is presented as another major variable, something you absolutely have to factor in. The source notes there's significant variation across different courses in SA, and that's driven by the grass, sure, but also how it's maintained and the specific environment of the course.
Can you give us a feel for that, like an example of that variation?
Yeah, they suggest that, say, coastal courses, maybe with more sandy soil, more sun, they might generally play faster, whereas inland courses, particularly those with that thicker Kikuyu grass, might be slower because the grass just holds onto moisture more. And they actually bring in a specific tool that measures this speed objectively, the stimp meter. They give some numbers, too. Speeds of 10 feet or less are generally seen as slow. And anything over 11 feet, well, that's considered fast.
Ah, okay. That's a really concrete benchmark to have in mind.
Oh.
So knowing that speed, that number, it completely changes how you approach the putt.
Oh, absolutely. It has to. The article implies you need firmer strokes on faster greens, you know, to account for less friction. And conversely, a much gentler touch on slower greens where the ball needs more help to reach the hole. And it's also worth thinking about how the time of day plays into this. Morning rounds often mean dew on the grass, which slows things down considerably. Then the afternoon sun comes out, dries them, speeds them up. The real insight here, according to the source, is that the players who can spot these daily fluctuations and adjust their read accordingly, those are the ones with truly refined skills. Okay, so beyond the surface itself, the grass, the speed, the physical layout, the slopes and contours are presented as absolutely fundamental, especially given South Africa's incredibly varied landscapes.
Right, so each green is kind of telling its own topographical story.
Precisely. You've got it. Elevations, depressions, they aren't just for show. They directly dictate how the ball's going to travel. Understanding those discernible breaks is crucial because even a really slight incline will significantly alter both the direction and the speed of your putt.
So what if a green looks pretty flat, but you feel like it isn't? What does the article suggest for finding those subtle breaks?
Well, a key tip they offer is to first visualize the overall layout from a distance. Try to get a feel for the main dominant slope of the green. But for those really tricky ones, the ones that seem flat, they actually recommend getting low. Literally get down closer to the ground and examine the contours from different angles. It helps you pick up on those subtle shifts you might otherwise miss.
Okay, getting low helps. Any other tricks?
Yeah, another practical technique they mention is thinking about how water would run off the green after rain. That usually shows you where the primary breakpoints are likely to be. Follow the drainage. And here's where it gets really interesting, I think. They talk about using the lines of the grass itself as a guide. Apparently, grass often grows in the direction of the slope, so it can provide a sort of visual cue for the ball's natural path. Worth looking for.
Okay, so we understand the playing surface grass and speed and the landscape slopes and contours. Now, how do we actually translate all that knowledge into hitting the putt? The source dives into some effective techniques for reading these sometimes challenging greens.
Right. So one key strategy they highlight for really refining these skills is something called the aim point method. The core idea is using your assessment of the slope and the speed to pinpoint exactly where you need to aim to start the ball on the correct line to the hole.
Okay. Aim point. How does that work in practice?
Well, first, you really need to assess the slope right where your ball is. They even suggest using tactile assessment. You know, actually feeling the slope under your feet. Stand behind the ball, feel the ground.
Feel it with your feet. Interesting. Then what?
Then, based on that slope you felt and your read of the speed, you identify your aim point. That's the specific spot on the green, maybe a few feet out, that you need to roll the ball over so that gravity and slope feed it towards the hole as it breaks. Aligning your putter face precisely to that spot is key for precision. And they stress that calculating the amount of break needed is vital. You have to consider both the direction of the slope and the speed of the green. A steeper slope, obviously, means more break, but a slower green on that same steep slope, that means even more break because the ball has more time to turn.
Ah, right. Speed interacts with slope.
Exactly. And mastering this aim point method is highlighted as potentially transformative, especially on South African greens, because it forces you to integrate all those variables, the different grass types, the speeds, the slopes, into one single actionable plan for your putt. Another absolutely critical skill they discuss for developing advanced green reading is visualizing the putt path. And this isn't just like seeing the line you want the ball to start on. It's about creating a mental movie, seeing the ball roll from your putter face all the way into the cup, taking into account everything that's going to influence its journey.
So you're seeing the whole story of the putt unfold in your mind before you even hit it.
That's the idea, exactly. You assess the slopes and contours, sure, but then you have to factor in the speed you intend to hit the putt with. Because a faster putt, well, it holds its line better against less break. But a slower putt, it's much more susceptible to following every little contour, every subtle break.
Okay, so visualization needs speed context. How do you practice that visualization?
Well, they suggest a line of sight technique, so actually tracing the expected path of the ball with your eyes from ball to hole. They also mention walking along the intended line to feel the slope with your feet again, combining that physical sensation with your visual read.
Feel it and see it.
Right. Merging that tactile feedback with the visualization creates a really comprehensive strategy. And that's described as particularly crucial on these South African courses, where weather and grass types can significantly change how the ball behaves on its way to the hole. Need all the input you can get. Now, here's a tactic they discuss that might be potentially overlooked by many golfers. Using the fringe, that area just outside the putting surface. Apparently, it can actually offer valuable insights about the green itself.
Really? The fringe? How can the grass off the green tell you anything specific about the green speed or break?
Well, the article explains that how the fringe grass looks and lies can offer clues about the speed of the actual putting surface. For example, if the fringe is really lush and thick, it might suggest the greens themselves are on the slower side. Whereas a closely mown fringe could point towards a faster surface overall. It's a hint.
Okay, a hint on speed. What about break?
Yeah, they say analyzing the fringe can also help predict the break, especially near the edge of the green. If you observe how the fringe grass seems to bend or slope towards the hole, it gives you clues about how the ball might behave as it gets close. Leveraging that kind of subtle information can apparently make a real difference. And circling back to contours for a moment, the source really emphasizes that mastering this is about analyzing the unique story each green tells, you know, how it's shaped by its topography and how it's maintained.
So how do they suggest you read that story?
Key steps they highlight include, well, observing the green from various angles. Don't just look from behind the ball. Take the time to walk around it. Also, watch how other players' balls react on the green. That's free information right there. And always remember, basic physics, gravity pulls the ball downhill. Seems obvious, but keep it front of mind.
Okay, observe, watch others, remember gravity.
Exactly. And they reiterate that the visualization technique we talked about is incredibly effective here too. Mentally rolling the ball along your planned path helps you assess how much you need to adjust for the inclination and the speed you choose. This deep level of contour interpretation is described as vital, especially given the huge variety across South African courses. You know, from the relatively flatter coastal layouts to those dramatically undulating inland designs. Big difference.
It's becoming really clear that the external environment, the conditions, play a massive role in reading greens effectively. And the source seems to dive deep into how South African weather conditions specifically impact the game on the green.
Oh, absolutely. In a generally sun-drenched place like South Africa, sunlight and shade significantly affect the greens. Direct sunlight tends to dry them out, which usually results in faster putting surfaces. Whereas shaded areas, maybe under trees or near buildings, they retain more moisture. So they often play slower and can be less predictable. And this can literally change from one hole to the next on the very same course, depending on tree cover and time of day.
Is there a quick way to judge that moisture level?
Yeah, they mention a helpful visual cue is simply the color of the grass. Dry grass tends to look lighter, maybe a bit faded. Moist grass looks richer, greener. That can be a quick way to gauge potential speed differences between sunny and shady spots.
And time of day matters again here too.
Definitely. As we touched on with speed, the sun's position is key. Morning dew versus that afternoon dry heat makes a big difference, not just to speed, but maybe even firmness. Wind is another really common factor in SA golf that adds complexity. The source stresses you absolutely need techniques for interpreting how wind affects your putts, especially on more exposed greens.
Okay, wind. What's the key advice there?
Well, the advice is simple but crucial. Pay close attention to the wind direction and its speed before you putt. Look at the flagstick, look at the trees, feel it on your face. Understand that wind will cause drift, particularly on longer putts, and strong headwinds might even mean you need to hit the ball a bit firmer just to counteract its force and get the ball to the hole.
Does it change how you read the break?
It can. An interesting perspective they offer is to sometimes simplify your read in really windy conditions. Consider making the wind's impact a primary factor, maybe even more important than the subtle break you see. This can help streamline your decision-making when you're facing those unpredictable gusts that are pretty common in SA's varied terrain. And we touched on adjusting for speed differences between morning and afternoon, but the source actually details adjusting your techniques based on the time of day, too.
Ah, not just the read, but the stroke itself.
Yeah. Morning dew means slower speeds, maybe a slightly different texture under the ball. You might need to adjust your setup or stroke length accordingly. Afternoon often means drier, faster greens, maybe firmer, too. That demands a more controlled, possibly firmer stroke to manage the speed. They really emphasize continuous evaluation because conditions aren't static through a round. Shadows moving across the green as the sun moves. That can create temperature and moisture inconsistencies affecting how the ball behaves, sometimes quite unpredictably.
Okay, sun, shade, wind, time of day. What about rain? It rains in SA too.
Right. Rain is just an inevitable part of golf pretty much everywhere. Learning to manage your strategy on wet greens is essential. More moisture obviously means slower speeds and also increased friction between the ball and the grass. So you generally need a more delicate touch, maybe a slightly longer stroke, but avoid hitting the ball too hard, which can cause skidding.
How do you judge just how wet it is?
Well, the source suggests monitoring the course state visually, seeing puddles or standing water. That immediately tells you those areas will play significantly slower. Watching how your own practice putts react in the wet gives you valuable real-time feedback. And, unsurprisingly, they advise practicing in similar wet conditions whenever possible. It builds feel. And one more weather factor, high humidity. That also presents unique challenges, according to the article.
Humidity. How does that affect putting?
Well, moisture in the air can actually make the greens feel a bit softer, which can lead to more friction and, again, slower speeds than you might expect on a dry day. Recognizing these conditions and adapting your touch, your speed calculation, is highlighted as potentially being the difference maker on a crucial putt. The source even notes that humidity can sometimes make the ball feel heavier off the putter face. This can affect the feel of your stroke and the amount of force you intuitively apply. So refining your technique to be consistent regardless of these atmospheric conditions is key.
Does humidity affect anything else?
Interestingly, Yes. They point out that high humidity can also impact your mental focus, just due to physical discomfort. Feeling sticky and hot isn't ideal for concentration. So building mental resilience to stay sharp and focused, even when conditions are uncomfortable, is presented as just as important as adjusting your physical technique.
Wow. Okay. This has been fantastic information on what to look for, how all these external factors and techniques come into play. Really comprehensive. But how do you actually practice these specific skills effectively? Does the source offer any guidance there?
It does, yeah. It provides some specific drills that are tailored for improving exactly this kind of green reading, especially relevant for the varied conditions you might find in essay.
Great, let's hear about them.
Okay, first up is the ladder drill. This is presented as a really powerful exercise for building consistency and accuracy at varying distances. And that's absolutely essential for mastering speed control, especially on greens where speeds can fluctuate a lot, like we've discussed.
Ladder drill. How does that work?
You set up markers, tees, cones, whatever, at different distances from the hole. Start close, maybe 3 feet, then 6, 9, 12, 15 feet, like rungs on a ladder. Then you put one ball from each marker, focusing intensely on hitting it with the right speed to either go in or stop very close past the hole. The drill forces you to constantly adjust your touch, your stroke length, and your visualization based on the distance and any subtle slope changes at each spot. And tracking how many you make or get close from each distance, that's a great way to measure your progress with speed control.
Okay, ladder drill for speed. What else?
Next is the gate drill. This one is described as fundamental for refining your putting line and accuracy. It's a very direct way to improve the kind of precision needed for advanced green reading, making sure you start the ball where you intend.
A gate. How do you set that up?
You just take two alignment sticks or even two golf clubs and place them parallel on the green, just wider than your golf ball. You form a narrow gate, maybe a foot or two in front of your ball, positioned directly on your target start line. The goal is simple. Put the ball through the gate and into the hole.
Ah. Instant feedback if you push or pull it.
Exactly. This drill puts all the focus squarely on your stroke mechanics and your aiming. That gate is an immediate visual confirmation if you're starting the ball offline. It helps build muscle memory for a square putter face at impact and helps you understand how even tiny errors in alignment or misreads of the initial slope affect whether the ball passes through that gate.
Makes sense. Gate drill for line. Is there one more?
Yes. The third one mentioned is the clock drill. This is presented as a really comprehensive method to deepen your understanding of break and speed from all different angles around the hole.
Clock drill. Like numbers on a clock.
Precisely. You place maybe 8 or 12 balls in a circle around the hole, like the numbers on a clock face. Maybe start at 3 or 4 feet away. Then you putt from each position from 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and so on, all the way around.
Ah, so you get uphill, downhill, side hill putts all in one go.
Exactly. This forces you to see firsthand how the slope affects the break and the speed from every conceivable angle relative to the hole. It's incredibly effective, they suggest, for developing that overall green reading awareness you need to navigate the diverse terrains found on many essay courses. And again, tracking your success rate from each hour can help you identify if you struggle more with, say, right-to-left breaks versus left-to-right or uphill versus downhill speed.
Ladder, gate, clock. Those sound like really practical drills. But, you know, beyond the technical skills and the practice drills, the source strongly emphasizes the mental game. That seems absolutely crucial for actually performing well on the greens, for truly mastering this stuff.
Oh, completely. Confidence is called out specifically as the cornerstone of successful putting. When you're facing a really challenging putt on a tricky green, having that mental fortitude, that belief to trust your instincts and commit fully to the read you've made, that's highlighted as making all the difference between success and failure.
So how do you build that confidence, according to the material?
Well, it comes from practice, fundamentally, and the positive experiences that practice generates. The more time you spend on the green, deliberately honing your reading skills and your stroke using drills like those, the more familiar and confident you'll naturally become. Positive reinforcement. And being decisive is presented as equally crucial. Once you've gone through your process and made your read, you have to trust it and commit to the putt. Doubt, they point out quite bluntly, is a killer on the greens. It leads to tentative strokes. So a confident stroke born from a well-considered read significantly increases your chances. And resilience, bouncing back when a read doesn't quite work out, that's key too.
Right. You can't make them all. Which leads to expectations, I guess.
Exactly. Effectively managing your expectations is described as another vital mental skill for putting. The source notes that just recognizing and accepting that not every putt will drop immediately alleviates a huge amount of pressure. You have to accept that golf is inherently unpredictable. Conditions change minute by minute. Course variations are huge. And performing in practice isn't always the same as playing under pressure.
So instead of demanding perfection,
focus on executing your process. Did you make the best read you could based on the information and conditions? Did you commit to your line and hit your best stroke? Shifting your focus to that, the process, not just the result, helps maintain a much more positive and productive mental state. And they advise celebrating the small victories. Acknowledge when you make a really good read, even if the putt lips out. Recognizing those improvements builds confidence over time. It requires taking a long-term perspective. Mastering greens is a journey, and you need patience with yourself along the way.
Patience and focus, I imagine. It's easy to get distracted out there.
Absolutely. Sustaining focus throughout your round, and especially during the putting process, is crucial in the dynamic environment of a golf course with all its potential distractions. An effective strategy suggested in the article is establishing, and importantly, sticking to a pre-shot routine for every putt. It doesn't have to be long, but maybe. Visualize your read one last time, take a deep breath, make one or two smooth practice strokes feeling the speed. This simple ritual helps center your thoughts, block out peripheral noise, and provides a comforting framework before you pull the trigger.
A routine for focus. What else helps maintain it?
Embracing the present moment is also highlighted as vital. They advise actively letting go of that last three putt or the poor drive on the previous hole. Concentrate solely on the shot, the putt right in front of you now. That intense focus allows you to make your best, most confident read and stroke. And practically speaking, limiting external distractions where possible is important too. They even mention communicating with playing partners about respecting focus when someone is over a putt.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay, we've talked drills, mental game. What about adapting to different types of courses? SA has a lot of variety.
Yeah, South African courses are really celebrated for their diverse terrains, and the article stresses that being able to adapt your techniques to these varied landscapes is absolutely essential for advanced reading skills. You need to understand the specific character of the course you're playing that day. Is it a hilly layout? That will demand different reading strategies compared to a flatter, perhaps links-style course. Familiarity with a course, or at least its general style, helps you anticipate how its specific terrain is likely to influence your putts.
And the immediate surroundings matter too.
Definitely. They point out that the surrounding environment, things like trees, bunkers, even buildings near a green, can create microclimates that affect the putting surface. We mentioned shaded areas might stay moister and slower, while sunny sections dry out faster. You need to factor these local variations into your read on a hole-by-hole basis. And, as you'd expect, practicing on a variety of terrains, if you have the opportunity, is the best way to build that crucial adaptability and the confidence to handle whatever the course throws at you.
It really sounds like a continuous learning process.
It absolutely is. And that leads to the final point the source really stresses. Mastering these green reading skills isn't a quick fix. It's not something you learn overnight. It's definitely a marathon, not a sprint. And cultivating patience and persistence is presented as crucial for anyone serious about improving on the greens.
Patience and persistence. How do you cultivate that?
Well, first, be patient with the process and, importantly, with yourself, especially when you face setbacks or have frustrating days on the greens. Everyone does. Improvement takes time, and you simply won't get every single red perfect, especially early on. Allow yourself grace for mistakes and just keep working on refining your approach. Persistence, then, means maintaining a regular practice routine, deliberately incorporating those drills we discussed, and consciously working on the mental strategies. Consistent, focused effort is what builds muscle memory, improves your feel, and leads to steady progress over the long haul.
Any other tips for sticking with it?
Yeah, they also suggest seeking feedback. Ask trusted playing partners, or even better, a qualified coach for their observations on your reads or your stroke. External insights can be really valuable. And fundamentally, embracing a growth mindset, viewing challenges and mistakes not as failures but as learning opportunities, is key to staying motivated on this ongoing journey of improvement.
That's great advice. Now, the article also provides some quick, specific examples, right? Tying these principles to actual South African courses.
It does, yeah. Just briefly, it highlights Fancourt Golf Estate, for instance. Notes its subtle contours and the varying grass types across its courses. They point out that the links course there, known for its faster greens, really demands that precision in reading speed and break. The article suggests drills like the clock drill and the ladder drill are particularly useful for honing that precision needed at Fancourt, and that adapting to the coastal weather there is key.
Okay, Fancourt. Any others?
It also mentions the Gary Player Country Club at Sun City, which is famous for its significant undulations and really tricky breakpoints. For a course like that, the source suggests the aimpoint method is especially valuable for tackling those pronounced slopes, and that carefully considering elevation changes and the impact of wind is critical there. The gate drill is also mentioned as helping players dial in the accuracy needed on those demanding greens.
Gary Player CC. And one more.
And Leopard Creek Country Club, which is described as beautifully blending natural surroundings with significant golfing challenge. The complexity there comes from the terrain, the local conditions, and they even mention factoring in potential wildlife interactions. For Leopard Creek, the ladder drill is specifically recommended to help players build the consistent speed control that's so necessary on its often immaculate greens.
Wow, those examples really do help ground all these concepts in real places and illustrate the specific kinds of challenges golfers face there. Okay, that was a seriously deep dive into reading golf greens effectively, focusing on the unique environment of South Africa, and pulling all those insights directly from that Golf Day Buddy app article.
Yeah, we've covered a huge amount. Everything from understanding the core elements like different grass types, Kikuyu, Bermuda, and green speed variations, to analyzing slopes and contours, exploring practical techniques like the aimpoint method, and visualizing the putt path, even how to use the fringe as a guide. Then we got into adapting to all those varying South African weather conditions, sun, shade, wind, rain, humidity. Plus, we looked at those tailored practice drills, ladder, gate, clock, and spent time on the absolutely vital mental game aspects like confidence, managing expectations, and maintaining focus.
It's so clear from this material that mastering green reading isn't about finding one single magic trick, is it? It's really a combination of keen observation, applying sound technique, putting in dedicated practice, and maintaining a strong, resilient mental approach.
Absolutely. And thinking about all those different factors we've just unpacked from this source, you know, everything from the specific type of grass under your feet to the way the wind is gusting across the green, right down to your own mental state and confidence level. It raises an interesting question for you, the listener. Which single element do you think has the most potential to transform your putting game the very next time you step onto a challenging green? Something to definitely consider for your next round.
Great final thought. Thanks everyone for joining us for this deep dive.